called you by his name. And you and called you his own. No longer let it be a can't when he says you can. It may be small in your eyes, but it's not in the eyes of him. For he has seen the struggle of the days gone by, and those things that have been a stumbling block will be removed from the scene. And the ties that have bound you to a certain way of doing things are broken, and change has sprung forth. This is the season of opportunities for you. This is the season of opportunity for you. Expectation, great opportunities, birthing of new things, change. Change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, and now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it, and will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may set forth my praise, and they shall do it. Hallelujah. I've got one more thing to say to somebody, then we'll get into the Word. Sandy, God says he's not forgotten you. There are times when you have wondered if people have forgotten you, and even times you've wondered, God, have you forgotten where I'm at? Have you forgotten about me? God says, I've not forgotten about you. He says, I know exactly where you're at, and I know exactly where I want to take to you. And as he spoke to Jennifer, the Word is following hard after you to not let you go. You have let yourself go, but God wants to remind you, I've not let you go. That I've not let you go, and I know exactly where you're at, and I know exactly what I'm doing, and I know exactly what plans and purpose that I have for you. And he also has got you in his grip, and he's not going to let you go. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for the Word. Thank you. Thank you very much. The Bible tells us in James, we're going to be looking at the book of James this morning. And believe it or not, I was supposed to preach next Sunday, and I was going to start this message next Sunday. Then once I got into it to prepare it for today, I thought, I can't preach all this today, so this is going to be a part two. So, Pastor, if you're listening to them, we believe you're going to be here next Sunday, but you can rest. You can just sit there and rest. So I'm going to preach part two of this message next Sunday. So if you've come today, you got to come back next Sunday. Amen. Okay? Hallelujah. To get the complete of this. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But, don't you like the buts? Because you always know there's something good coming. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed with his deed or in his doing. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. So it says, wherefore, James tells us, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now that word filthiness there is a Greek word, R-H-U-P-O-S. And it's literally a medical term when you begin to look at it. And it refers to wax in the ear. Okay? So it's that which keeps you from hearing. You see, sometimes there are certain things that our spiritual ears need to hear, but we've got so much buildup that we can't hear. It's just a muffle. And then sometimes we just hear what we want to hear. that it seems that God is trying to tell us something. There's something wrong, because you've heard the definition of doing the same thing over and over again is insanity. Well, if something's not working, we need to do something different. So God's trying to speak to us, but our ears, our spiritual ears, are stopped to the point that we're not hearing him. You know, it's like the man that went to the doctor. He said, "Doctor, every time I bend over, my back hurts." He said, "Well, don't bend over." Glory to God. So we need to remove that which keeps us from hearing what God is trying to tell us. And then the other word of, is superfluity of naughtiness. And verse 21, is this word is very close to the word superfluous. And it means that which remains. That's literally what it means, that which is left over. So when we get saved, especially us that have been out there in the world and we got all this garbage going on in us, once we get saved, when we begin to walk with God, we find out there's still some stuff trying to hang on to us and hang around. It's like old gray clothes. And it takes us a while to figure out that we've been free. But James said, lay aside that which is keeping you from hearing my word. And then he said to lay aside superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, that stuff that's trying to keep you bound up to your past life that God has saved you from and delivered you from. So James says, lay aside those things. And then he goes on to say, why do we need to lay aside those things? So that we can receive the engrafted word of God. The engrafted word. It says, James says, we are told to receive with meekness the engrafted word. What for? Which is able to save your souls. So you think, well, Pastor Shirley, I'm saved. I remember the day I got saved, the time I got saved, where I got saved, and how I felt. So why is he telling me to be saved again? James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad, to the saved people, to the church. But yet he was saying, listen, you need to get rid of that wax in your spiritual ears. You need to lay aside all that junk so that you can receive the engrafted word to the saving of your souls. They were already saved. They were already born again. So we're going to get into this now. So the book of James is written to those saved people. So let's start out by saying that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we are a soul, or we have a soul, and we live in this beautiful part that you see out here. Amen? So our spirit man got reconnected. God, the Holy Spirit came to reside within us, that spirit. And that's the part that relates to God. That's the part connects. It's the one that connects to our Creator. The spirit is your capacity to know God, to relate to him, to understand his word, and to fellowship with him. So we've been saved. But then we are being saved. Or let's go to the third one. We shall be saved. When we get to heaven, it's all going to be completed. There'll be no more power of sin that wants to take control of our lives when we get to heaven. It will be completed then. Okay? So that we are being saved. Now, what does that mean? Our soul part of us is continually being saved. I shall be saved one day when I go to heaven from the possibility of sin. Okay, we've done covered that. In heaven, it's going to be completed. Glory to God. No sin there. That wants to take hold of us and rule our lives. So that's what James is talking about in this particular passage of scriptures. We are saved when we got born again and we invited Jesus into our hearts and we get to heaven and we are going to be saved then and everything's going to be good. But then we are continually being saved while we're here on this earth. Not our spirit, because when somebody comes, you know, their spirit's broken or their it's not their spirit. Your spirit man is alive and well and wanting to come forth out of you. Their soul has been broken. Your will has been broken and your emotions has been broken. So I don't want to get ahead of myself too much. The soul part of it, now the Greek word for soul is psyche. Those of you that studied psychology, you know, your mind and counseling and all of that. The soul part of you is the psyche part of you. See, you look at them and say, I know you're messed up. Amen? Chill out now. Greek word is psyche. It's your mind, your emotions, and your will. James is not talking about going to heaven one day when he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But he's saying, you receive the word of God that is able to deliver your psyche, your mind, your will, and your emotions. He's saying that the word of God is able to sanctify you. So that's what he's talking about when he says the word of God is able to save your soul. So he's not just talking about your sins forgiven in the past or going to heaven in the future. But right now on this earth, we need some help on the way. We need some deliverance on the way. We need our mind, our will, and emotions to be renewed right now. Amen? So he's talking about the word of God right now, the power to deliver us from the pollution of sin now. The Bible says in 3 John 2 that God says, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You could be saved, born again, messed up, lame, and crippled, and get into heaven. But what kind of witness is that going to be here on this earth? Somebody needs to see Jesus. Amen. And if you're messed up, tortured, tormented, and all this stuff, how's that going to witness to somebody the power of the salvation of God? Amen? Anybody out there? You can go to heaven with all this stuff going on in your life if you've been born again. That's not going to keep you from the presence of God. It's going to keep you from the blessings of God while you are on this earth right now. Not that God's trying to keep anything from you, but you're going to see God through an injured spirit or a wounded spirit. Let's back up, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But as long as you're in this earth and you're all messed up, and you don't ever allow your mind to get renewed or get healed from all this stuff, and allow the word to change you, then, like I said, you won't be a witness. You can't be a witness because you're concentrating so much on yourself that nobody can see the love of God in you. And we all got problems. We all got issues. Amen? God is putting us together as we go. How can you judge yourself in knowing that the word of God is working in your life? Think about where you were at spiritually a year ago. Does the same thing still upset you? Amen? Are you still going through the same thing over and over again? If it's not working, maybe you need to do something different. And guess where it starts? In your mind. With the help of the Holy Spirit. So God wants us to have a healthy relationship with Him, with us, and then an outflow to others. So your spirit has become new, but your mind, will, and emotions have to be renewed on a daily basis. God did the spiritual change, gave us the word to change our minds, and that will and that emotions. So if we want a life that is changed, we have to quit looking and perceiving God through the eyes of our wounded mind and our wounded soul. And as long as we're here on this earth, you're always going to have the opportunity to get your feelings hurt, to make stupid choices, to be fearful, and all these things that go into our emotions that the enemy wants to come and torment us because we live in a fallen world, and we humans make stupid choices sometimes. And when we make stupid choices, we reap the benefit. We reap the consequences of those choices we make. It's not that God has not forgiven us, but, you know, so we not only have to quit looking at God through the eyes of our wounded spirit, we have to quit looking at people that way. And when we look at people, we see them as Jesus would see them. Because, like I said before, we're all on different levels in our walk with God. That's why we judge no one. When they're out there and you're thinking, I thought they were saved. Well, they're just not renewing their mind with the word like you did not at one time. Amen? So here are we on this earth, all of us here together, just trying to get along. A bunch of humans that God has placed here for such a time as this. And even us church folks get offended at each other, get hurt at each other, get niffed at something in the church that don't go our way. So we get our spirit wounded. So we start looking at this wounded spirit, this in the eyes of our wounded spirit at the church. And we begin to say, if the church did this, or if the church did that, or if. We have to look at it through the spiritual eyes and to realize that ain't none of us arrived yet. And if you're not learning and you're not growing with God, then you're not hearing the word and receiving the word, as we'll get into a little bit later. So the engrafted word is getting God's word into your life until the point that you believe and act on it, then your mind and the word of God become one. That you are so in tune to the word, as you allow that word to keep getting in you, that your thoughts are the word, your voice is the word, that you're speaking the word. And it becomes so one that you can't tell it apart. That your spirit man is completely taken over at that point. The real you, the breath of God, the one that created you. So the word will work if you work the word. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, you can sit in church Sunday after Sunday and hear that word and go out and never allow that word to change you. And I'll say, too, that if you've been in this church for a long time, you've heard enough word that something ought to be happening in your life. And if it's not, it's not because of the lack of teaching that has come from this pulpit. It's your lack of doing and allowing the word to change you. I know that's a little bit hard, but it's the truth. It's like I said before, quit getting on the same donkey and riding around the same mountain. You either need to get you an anointed donkey that's going to take you where you need to go, or you need to shoot the one you've been riding. Amen? Glory to God. So our soul man gets continually wounded by life, as I said before, by hurts and betrayals and failures or feelings. So the grafted word is getting the word so much in your life that it's more than just coming to church, but you take that word that you've heard in church, you go out, and during the week you apply it to your life. The Bible tells us in Colossians that the new man is Christ's likeness, and having clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded, fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. So if you will let it work for you, let the word work for you. In other words, chill out, receive by faith what God has said, and just begin to walk in that. So, well, what part do I obey? The parts you know at the time to obey. If God shows you something in the word, you obey that. Pretty soon there'll be something else. You obey that. Amen. You obey that, and then you obey that, and then you obey that. And then pretty soon you'll begin to see, wow, I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't act the way I used to act. That person that I love just to smack, I don't want to smack them no more. Even though they haven't changed, I have changed. That's how you judge yourself, to find out if the word is changing you or not. Think about how you were acting a year ago. Think about how much your life has changed a year ago. Has it changed any since then? Is your thinking different? Is your talking different? Is your actions different? That's how you begin to judge yourself and discern if the word is working in your life. So what is the steps in doing this? And we're going to cover two of those this morning, and then we're going to cover the rest of them next week and do a review of all this. Number one, you must first hear the word. You must first hear, and you're in the right place to hear the word. You must hear the word. And number two, you must receive the word. And number three, you must be a doer of the word. And number four, you must continue in the word. The Bible says if you continue the word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you continue in the word. So number one, how do you allow this word to begin to change your psyche, to renew your mind, your will, and your emotions? That part of us that gets messed up sometimes. First of all, you need to hear the word. Not just on Sunday morning. But if you have to play gospel music in the car, tapes, whatever, get the word into you get the word into you. Hear the word. That if James says, receive you the engrafted. That word engraft means implanted. It means to germinate, grow, or sprout. The engrafted word that gets in you is the word that changes you. It means that implanted word that is alive like a seed. This word is a seed that God has given to you. And when it's planted upon in your spirit, and your spirit begins to plant that in your soul, and you begin to think, okay, it's like I said, that spirit and your mind began to work as one. Glory to God. It's in the parable of the sower in Mark 4:13, it says, we see that it's possible to hear the word of God, but never experience its manifestation. It was like I said a while ago, you can sit here Sunday after Sunday and just be a hearer of the word and never be a doer of the word and never begin to allow that word to work for you and to work the word where it does work for you. God has done everything he's already done. It has been completed. We are the kingdom of God in this earth now. Hallelujah. We have a part to play in what God has already done, the finished work. He's done all. He said it was finished. He overcame. So he bore it so we don't have to bear it. Hallelujah. So the word, we find in Mark, the word that was sown, it was heard by all. But only one of the four types of ground, or the heart condition, produced fruit. The other did not. The other three did not. Why? Because it was planted on ground that began to say, and we'll talk about this next week, about welcoming the word. I welcome your word to change me, even if I don't understand it and I don't like it. It's like the word that God gave us in the Sunday handout. You know, I can't remember what it was now, but allowing the word of God to change you. Welcoming that word in your life. Jesus tells us how to work that word in us in John. We have to accept God's word as truth and live by it. And not try to change the word to fit our program and to fit our lives, but allow the word to change us so we can fit into the plan and purposes of God. Welcome in the word. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide, continue in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, and live in accordance with them. In other words, don't be a jumping jack. Don't be up one day and down the next day. You know, remember the message I preached that the devil don't like balance? He likes you to be way over here, that you're just way out here somewhere, that you can't help nobody because you think you're so spiritual, or else you're way over here and you don't believe in nothing. You're not any witness or anything to anybody when you're at that point. So he doesn't like balance. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, continue in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, he said, then you're my disciples and you will know the truth, and the knowledge of that truth will set you free. You can have the truth. It's like knowing the word. Yeah, that's truth. But then you begin to get the knowledge of that truth. That's when you begin to walk in freedom. Knowing that God is for you and not against you. His word is not there to punish you, but his word has been given to you to the saving of your souls. That your mind, your will, and emotions can be renewed. That you're not the old man that you used to be. Amen? But you're a new creation in the God of this universe. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, consent, and submit. We don't like that word, submit. I read one time that submit's like a submarine, submit. And a submarine goes under the water, you know. That's what we need to do with the word. Cover me with your word, O Lord, until I am completely immersed and my spirit and my mind become one. For they are light. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Did you just hear what I read? It says, my son, attend to my words. In other words, listen to what I have to say. Consent and submit to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep for your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Your word is precious to me like honey in a honeycomb. Hallelujah. For they are life. God's word is life to you. Glory to God. Life to those who find them. Healing and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. And above all that you guard it, for out of it flow the springs of life. Learn God's word. The seed, as I said, is the word of God. So we have to read it. We have to see it. We have to speak it. And then I make a decision to believe that it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I know this to be a truth. No matter what other books I may pick up and read, there's nothing like this book here and the revelation that it offers me. It's life to me. It's life to my flesh. Because I know within the pages of the book I can find my purpose and my being while here on this earth. Glory to God. And having a relationship with God. So learning is the first step, and you act on it. Romans 8:29 says, shows us that God wants us to conform to His image, conform to the image of His Son. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So it starts the renewing of your mind, your psyche, your will and emotions to the salvation of that part. It's to hear the word. Somebody say, hear the word. Hear the word. Number two, it receive that which you have heard. It's like I said, you can hear it, you can walk out of here, and that's it. Or you can hear it, and you say, that is a word from God. Whether it's a prophetic word, whether it's in here, that is a word from God. I have heard it. I may not completely understand it, but my spirit bore witness with it, and I'm going to receive that which I have heard today. And I'm going to seek God that He gives me further revelation on it. I may not have read that in the Word yet, but my spirit bore witness to that to be a truth. Hallelujah. So I'm not only going to hear it, but I'm going to receive that which I've heard. James says, receive the implanted, the engrafted Word of God. The Greek word here for engraft is, or for receive, I mean not engraft, but receive is D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. I only talk in tongues. I cannot interpret that. I can't even say it. I mean, I can interpret it, but I can't say it. Which means to welcome. That word in the Greek means to welcome, as I mentioned a couple of times before. It means open and receive and welcome the word into your life. And sometimes it makes you go, ouch. Oh, you mean I'm acting that way? Well, Father, I welcome your word in my life. I receive that word to change me, even though I may not understand it at that time. Meekness. Receive the engrafted word with meekness. That word meekness, as I talked about being submitted a while ago, means submissiveness. Meekness. Meekness. Being submissive to the word of God. Being submissive. It's acknowledging our dependence upon God for deliverance, guidance, healing, peace, and strength. Knowing that I don't know it all. Amen. Knowing that I'm not all the way delivered yet. But there's no excuse for my behavior. Especially if I've said out of the word. I'll be accountable for what I've heard. Hallelujah. So I receive that word with meekness, with a submissive spirit. And say, Lord, I welcome your word. I've heard it. I receive it. And I welcome your word to change me. I welcome your word to change me. I submit to your word. I open your heart. I welcome your word. So you're going to have to receive the word of God as you would receive someone into your home. Welcome them into your home. This is my home and I welcome. We are the temple of God. I welcome you that you abide in my temple and you make it what you want to. Heal my mind. Heal my soul. Heal my psyche. A wounded and hurt and betrayal and failures. Only God can do that for you. Only God can heal you of memories that want to plague you in the middle of the night. Only God can do that. Thank God for counseling. It don't matter what kind of counseling you go to, and I know that's helped a lot of people. And I work in a facility where we do a lot of that. But if you don't, the only way you're ever going to live a victorious life is allowing the Word of God to get in you, and you begin to change your way of thinking. Because the Bible says, as a man, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. And so much worldly counseling keeps you into that place saying, you were and you always will be, so we have to give you this and give you this and give you this just for you to cope. And thank God for all those things that help us along the way. But there is a healing power of God that can heal your mind, hallelujah, that can heal you from memories, that can bring deliverance to you, that you can lay your head down at night knowing that God gives His beloved sweet peace, that you have been forgiven, that He can sanctify your mind, hallelujah, that He can heal your mind. Glory to God. So if we do not receive the word sown, then we'll never produce a spiritual harvest. Because before anything is brought forth, it has to be planted, even in the natural. You can go out there and you can say, I can't wait for those maters to come in. I can't wait for those maters to come in. And the ground hasn't even been tilled. There's nothing sown. You can go out there and confess until the cows come home. If nothing's been planted, it's not going to come up. That's why it's important to hear the word, which is the seed. That's why it's important to receive that word, which is the seed. And then it begins to get watered. That's why you're in a place where that seed can get watered. That's why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because that seed gets watered. And pretty soon you realize, you know, I'm changed. I'm not who I used to be. I've got a long ways to go, but thank God I'm not where I was 6 months ago. I'm not where I was a year ago. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? That is dancing stuff, church. God doesn't want you to stay the same. He created you for more than just for you to get up and go through a humdrum life every day. You need to be excited that He brought you into the earth for such a time as this. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. If you don't want to shout, I believe I'll shout just for a moment. Excuse me. Lord, I thank You for where You brought me from. I thank You that I've been delivered, that I've been sanctified, that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Every organ in my body is working because of Your grace and mercy. You said in Your word that by Your stripes I am healed. You said that I can be more than and I am because of You. I'm not who I used to be. The old man is long dead and gone. He brought me out for such a time as this. So therefore, I can't help but praise Him. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, somebody! Glory to God! Woo! Glory to God! Thank You, Jesus. To receive God's word is not just to listen to God's word, but also describes the spiritual process that takes place within us. By faith, we lay hold on the word of God in our spirits. Romans says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I wanted to teach this, but I feel the preacher in the house right now, church. God wants you to come alive to His word. He wants you to come alive to your purpose in this life. He wants you to love others as He first loved you. Some of you don't even like yourself, but you expect others to love you. And you try to love others when you don't even like yourself. But honey, you ought to get up and you ought to look in the mirror and you ought to say, I am more than, because God says I'm more than. I love me for who I am. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And you begin to see yourself not through the eyes of that wounded spirit that has been hurt, that has been betrayed and been forsaken, but you begin to see yourself as God sees you. Begin to look through the spiritual eyes of God and says, this is what His Word says about me, not what I have been labeled. Hallelujah. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Woo! So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To truly hear the Word of God, you must receive that Word. Welcome that Word on the inside of you. So we must be open and willing to hear with fresh ears. In other words, get the wax out of your spiritual ears, the mumbling and the religion and all that stuff. It says all this stuff has passed away. Well, I'm here to tell you, if I can find it in the Word, it ain't passed away. Amen. The book of Acts has not had its final amen. But we're just completing that which Acts has started. Amen. So we must be willing to hear. Lord, let me hear with fresh ears. Let me be like that. Bring me back to that childlike faith that says, well, your Word says it, it'll happen. Amen. If that's what your Word, that childlike faith being renewed in us again, that says, well, if your Word says it, that's it. If you tell a child something, you better hold to your Word. It's like I said in a sermon before, if you tell them you're going for ice cream at 2, they're... And at 2, you better go. Hallelujah. Childlike faith that says, Mama said it, that settles it. And that's what we need to do with God and His Word, by receiving it. If my daddy said it, that settled it. That's one thing my daddy in the natural taught me. Always keep your word, Shirley. He didn't like all this signing contracts and agreement, because he was a man of his word. And he always taught me, keep your word. And I know that my daddy God in heaven keeps His word concerning me and all that belongs to me. And I hear you say today, He's keeping your word concerning you too. Hallelujah. Everything that enemy has come to steal from you, God says, I'm going to restore to you 100-fold. I'm going to restore to you 100-fold. And you're going to walk out of that thing running over, not just to bless you, but to bless others. And I command money to come into your hands to not only bless you, but you can bless the kingdom of God. And that you can bless all those that God, those things that have been held up, it's breaking loose now in Jesus' name. He's removing every hindrance to keep that which belongs to you. It's been broken in Jesus' name. And this is a season of birthing and change and opportunities. That's why you need the wax removed from your ears so you can hear when God says, go, grab, run, jump, whatever, you're able to do it. Because it's no longer a mumble, hallelujah. But you know the voice of your Father, hallelujah. So we must read God's Word for ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what God is saying to our hearts. And in closing today, in Psalms 19, it says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The deliverance, saving power of the Word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The Word of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. Changing the soul. The perfect Word of God is able to convert the soul, is able to save the soul. Again, the psychic part of us, our mind and our will and emotions. You need to speak to your mind and say, and when you do, you're speaking forth the oracles of God. And you begin to say, mind, you will think right. Mind, you're not going to be hurt and offended. And should the opportunity arise, I'm going to get so grounded in the Word that I'm able to forgive just moments like that. And it's not going to take me days to grieve and to, why did they do that to me and all that. Hallelujah. The mind, the converting of the mind. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're more to be desired are they than gold. Yes, and much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There is great reward in keeping the commandments of the Lord. If you go out and you say, that train ain't going to hit me because I'm anointed, go ahead, you're going to get you a quick trip to heaven. Amen? So there is great reward in keeping the word of the Lord. You will reap the benefits of that. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter than the honey than honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant of the Lord warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. If we could only begin to get a revelation of the Word of God, to understand the power that's been made available to us while we're here on this earth. It's like I said so many times before, I need some help on the way. I don't want to go to heaven messed up and jacked up and confused and tormented. But I can if I'm saved and I'm born again. But I'm not going to have much of a quality of life while I'm here on this earth. God doesn't want you to be miserable and unhappy. Amen? But He wants you to be full of joy. So not just for you and your family, but so that you can minister to others. If you're running around fearful and all these things that you're hearing on the news, as a Christian, you're not no witness. But you say, I know in whom I believe, and I am fully persuaded that He is able to keep me against any day that may happen. That's why He wants your mind renewed. That's why He wants your soul to be renewed. Your will, your mind, your psyche part of you to be whole and to be healed. Hallelujah. So if we could only get a revelation to understand the power of this book, the Bible, the words that are written therein. So next Sunday we're going to review and we're going to give you two or three more things about how allowing the Word to convert you. Don't you stand this morning? Does anybody need prayer? Thank you, Father God, for your anointing that's in this place to break every yoke in the name of Jesus. We ask God right now that you would show us, Lord, our wounded spirits, that you would show us, Father God, what part of us that need healing. We choose to lay those things aside. It says, lay aside. That's a choice. Lay aside those things that keep us from hearing you, that our spiritual ears will be enlightened to your word, Father God. We lay aside the old garments that wants to keep us bound up in religion, that wants to keep us bound up in confusion, that we're not who we've been labeled by the world or by our families or anybody, but we're labeled by you. We've got your stamp of approval on our foreheads that you approve us, Father God. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I speak peace to every person here today, every person that's listening, God, that's heard this word today. I speak peace to their minds. I come against that tormenting spirit in Jesus' name, that you are made whole by the stripes of Jesus, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. In Jesus' name, you are made whole. He wants you to be successful in this life. He wants you to have more than enough. Glory to God. He wants you to walk a life of health and wealth and be blessed. And Father God, we thank you for that. And the church said, and does anybody need prayer? Does anybody just say, I want you to lay your hands on me and pray for me, Pastor Shirley? Anybody want to come up for that this morning? I just feel the need to get that out there real quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just pray for Pat right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, da da ra ba 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 shoto si ba 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 kia. Lotore ba ba bo soto ye ma haya. Wholeness, peace that passes understanding in Jesus' name is yours. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I pray for Sandy. I pray for your word concerning her, Father God, that you have not forgotten her, Lord God, but your plan and purposes for her is still as real as they were on the first day that she began to see a revelation of your word. I speak healing to her wounded soul in Jesus' name to be healed and be made whole through the renewing of your mind in the word of God. Be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And I speak complete healing over you in Jesus' name. Physically, mentally, emotionally, you are made whole
by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you for that, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I just pray for my sister right now in the name of Jesus. I speak your word concerning her, Father God, that you know exactly where she's at this time in her life, Father God. Your word that concerns her has not been aborted, but it is as real as it was the day that she began to see a revelation of that, Father God, that she is more than. Hallelujah. I speak peace right now to every tormenting spirit. I speak peace right now in Jesus' name. Everything that comes against you to wound your spirit from the past, we break it right now in the name of Jesus. That in the days ahead, your steps will be lighter and your heart full of joy of the Lord and a new song he births in you from this moment forth. It will no longer be I can't when God says you can, for I have equipped you and made you well able. And Father, I speak that over her right now in the name of Jesus, that her steps are lighter. That her steps are lighter in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Mary, I just hear doors closing, 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 closing. Closing in Jesus' name. There's new doors opening and opening and opening in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And don't be concerned about the ones that are closing, and don't be concerned about the ones that are opening. You just be faithful to follow him and what you know that he's saying to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord just calls you his baby girl, and he desires to do for you more abundantly than you could ever think or ask. And he says, come to me, and I will show you great and mighty things about how much that I love you and how much that I desire to do good things in your life and how I desire to lead you and guide you into all truth. That you can look and say, my God has done it for me. This is who has done it for me. His grace and his mercy covers you today, and his love for you is unconditional and everlasting and ever ending. And with those cords of love, he draws you into him, and that you're able to lay your head on his chest and feel his heart beat because of his great love for you. I thank you, Father God, that her steps are being ordered by you. That it's ordered by you, Father God. And I thank you for the plan and purpose that you have for her, God. That she has ears, spiritual ears, to hear and to discern what you are saying to her for this season, Father. And I thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you for Jennifer. Thank you, God. That which she puts her hands to is favored by you, God. That you open doors for her, Lord, that have been shut tightly, that's supposed to be open. They're reopening now because it's the time and it's the season for that to happen. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will go with you, and I will make a way where there has been no way, and when others says it cannot be a way. For I have cleaned the slate, and I want you to know that I have wrote the story of your life. From the end to the beginning and to the beginning to the end, I have written it all out for you. Many golden nuggets are hidden therein. And as you continue to obey me and to get into my word and to begin to learn more and more of my grace and my love for you, I will begin to allow you to open those golden nuggets. And you will begin to say, wow, God, you did that for me. And he's going to say, yes, I did, because I love you and I've not forgotten you. Oh, Father, I thank you that her steps are ordered by you. And Lord, I just thank you for her, for the soul that's been wounded, that she receives complete healing of that, God. and every memory healed in Jesus' name. And from this day forth, they're replaced with good thoughts, good memories. And I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, just fill her with your precious Holy Ghost. That out of her belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And that she begins to sing unto you a new song, a song of the Lord, that you have given her and that you have equipped her with for warfare. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Out of your belly. Out of your belly. Out of your spirit shall flow rivers of living waters. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, so be it.
Hallelujah. And the church said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week this week. Amen. Amen.